The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the third chapter. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now, the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked John, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" Jesus said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" He said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming, the thong of his sandals, whom I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. With a winnowing fork in hand, he will clear the threshing floor and gather the wheat into his granary, burning the chaff with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, God proclaimed the good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. There's a statement out there that you might be aware of, maybe that you even say once in a while. The statement is, "Keep the home fires burning." How many of you have heard this or someone say this, right? Yeah, pretty common. To the best of my knowledge, and following some quick research, it seems like this statement was actually conjured up or at least made popular in World War I with a song common throughout Great Britain, titled, "Keep the Home Fires Burning." So when I say, "Keep the home fires burning" to you this morning, and I want you just to throw out different things. What comes to mind? Fire. Family.
Wood.
Pellets. Warmth. Hearth. Absolutely. Well, in short, it symbolizes the maintaining, I think, of a daily routine and provide the necessities of life in a home or community. And of course, during wartime, it came to mean keeping up the important parts of home, right? And keeping the lights on so the boys at war could find their way home again. And it's a powerful reminder, I think, of how we human beings tend to, when the going gets tough, lift up the important attributes of our nesting place and community. It's also an interesting statement, I think, to think about, of course, during this Advent season, during a time of preparation, of anticipation, maybe a little bit of trepidation if you're going to be hosting a bunch of family during Christmas like we are. Keeping the home fires burning sounds appealing, romantic even. My mom, more than anyone I know, will bust her behind every Christmas to make our house almost sparkle with Christmas decorations and lights. And every year on Christmas Eve growing up, we would host members of my extended family for Christmas Eve before we went to Christmas Eve worship. And I still vividly remember the sights and smells of those family gatherings, the mulled wine, the eggnog, the Swedish meatballs, the lefse, and a fire in the fireplace. My mom once told me, "I want to make Christmas magical for you because Christmas was magical for me." These are memories of home that I hold dear and have become woven into the tapestry of keep the home fires burning in my own context. And maybe you have similar memories growing up. But as we lift up the presence of our church throughout the world this Advent, especially in our talking about last week of the church in South Africa with Kim and Rogene and Bob and Marietta, I wonder if keeping the home fires burning can morph into something a little bit different. The prophet Zephaniah, he's not commonly read in the Old Testament. It's a small book, but it has a lot of powerful things to say. And in our scripture reading today, it says this: "I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear a reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time. I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time, I will bring you home. I will bring you home." What does home mean for us and our world today? The poet Maya Angelou writes, "The ache for home lives in all of us, the safe place where we can go as we are." Certainly John the Baptist was challenging this notion of home as a safe place when he abruptly calls out, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance." John's vision of home here is kind of uncomfortable, shall we say, at the very least, especially for many of us who live in privilege in an industrialized nation. John says, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Pretty simple, but radical instructions. So maybe we should introduce the John the Baptist version of our homey saying, which is keep the home fires burning and always keep the bed made, food ready, and door open for the stranger who wanders in. This isn't exactly, however, the magical Christmas memory one holds on to, though, is it? In September of 2010, while I was going to Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, and Abby and I were living in the San Francisco Bay Area, we lived through one of the worst gas pipeline explosions in recent memory. A major underground gas line, which had not been maintained properly by the utility, caught fire through static electricity and became this huge fireball. Some estimate it reached 1,000 feet into the air, and it did this in the middle of a neighborhood in the middle of the city called San Bruno, which is just south of San Francisco. 38 homes were consumed by this fireball. 8 people died, including 3 people of one family: a 17-year-old son, a father, and a grandmother of one family who were pillars, who were heavily involved at Bethany Presbyterian Church, Abby's church, growing up. Abby's parents, Pam and Fred, picked up Sue, the mom, that night from work and brought her back home. Her daughter Janine immediately arrived that night, where church members began to rotate visiting Pam and Fred's house to be with Sue and Janine. Pam and Fred's home became a new home for them because they had nowhere else to go. Because everything in their old house was incinerated, they needed to think about new clothes, new bed, new everything. But beyond just the physical items, Sue and Janine had to reconcile with the home fires of Pam and Fred, as well as the entire congregation of Bethany Presbyterian Church. This home fire had now shifted, and it was extraordinary. I remember Pam, Abby's mom, talking about the Christmas in 2010 was absolutely unreal. Sue wouldn't be able to move out of their house until January, so she spent Christmas with Pam and Fred. It was one, Pam recalls, of the most hodgepodge of Christmases she remembers, where Sue's extended family came to be with them. Church people visited on a constant basis throughout the day. Abby's grandma Marty was there, and many, many others who joined in. Home, as it turned out, was changed forever. What is home when you can't go back home, or when the home fires have prematurely burned out? Whether you are Sue or Janine, someone on the street in Missoula, or one of the hundreds of migrants waiting in limbo at the U.S. border, this question is real. Maybe we all need to take a serious look at our own concept of home. When starting out reading this gospel text this morning and seeing you brood of vipers from John the Baptist, one might think that this is a pretty down and dreary text. But as you dig into it a little bit more, you suddenly realize and discover that there's actually great joy in this beginning part of the Gospel of Luke. For it says, as the people were filled with expectation. This is exciting stuff. And more than that, take a look at who is actually out in the desert with John. Yes, it is the people who are suffering and who don't really have a home to go back to. But it is others as well, notice. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. And they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" These are the people that John is calling vipers. These are the folks that he is explicitly calling out, but they are actually participating in John's new vision of home. You know, we get so caught up with the sinfulness, the guilt, the bad things when we read John's call of repent, the time is near. But simply put, all repent means is to change pathways. That's all. Stop going down the path you are going and go in a new direction. That's all repent really means. So maybe this is getting at the fabric of what a deeper commitment to home can be. And maybe what John the Baptist here at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke is laying out. Home is where you can feel safe, where you can collect your thoughts and perspective, where you can be in true relationship, so that you can follow a new path. One could, I suppose, make the argument that true repentance does not happen without home. Home is where all people can gather in safety, no matter where they come from, in anticipation and to build up strength for the journey ahead. For so many Christians, mission work And living out one's faith means this checklist of converting souls, right? Our lives are for converting souls to Jesus, I remember someone telling me in college. Now, most of you know me well enough by now for me to say that this is not at all how I view my faith, nor how I view the faith of this church. Instead, I think a healthier and actually more biblically based version of mission might be to start with home. As followers of Christ, our job is to make sure people feel at home, safe, supported, not alone, so that the divine has room to enter in. Whether this is our job right here in Bonner or walking with the migrants down at the southern border or somewhere else in the world, the job in my mind is the same. Instead of keeping the home fires burning at our own house, maybe it's time we bring the match over to our neighbor's house. We are ministers of home in many ways. I want to just point out our different manger scenes that are up here this morning at our altar from all kinds of different places throughout the world. And thank you to Kim and Rogene for putting these up here. These are going to be up here throughout the Christmas and Advent season. But let's remember that even though these manger scenes come from different places, they are still telling the same story of home. Home. Home is different than what you might think. So may the peace and joy of this Advent season empower all of us to gain new perspective on home. And may it empower us to bring that home to others who are so desperately struggling to find it. Amen.